This week on the BOAG World podcast, we ask whether it's time for the web design industry to have a professional body. And we also ask whether all websites should be responsive. Hello and welcome to BOAGworld.com, the podcast for all those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. My name's Paul BOAG and joining me as always today is Marcus. I don't really care who you are. Do you know, today...
Paul's in a bit of a grump.
Well, this is one of those pivotal moments, isn't it? Well, not pivotal.
Is it pivotal?
The whole of the universe revolves around this moment. That was completely the wrong word. It's like, do we pretend to be happy when we're both a little bit grumpy? It has to be said.
My inner sunshine never goes away, Paul.
Mine bloody does.
Or it takes a lot more than...
I have to say, that is true. I've never seen you really particularly down.
No.
You're amazing.
I'm amazing.
I didn't mean... Oh, God, I've given you a compliment. What on earth's happening? See, I'm not right.
I'm very good at...
hiding it. Deep down inside, you're crying.
I am crying all the time. No, I'm very good at seeing the wood for the trees and being able to go, well, actually, things ain't that bad, are they? Because they really aren't.
Do you know, this morning, so, you know, I woke up this morning and and I got an email immediately that depressed me. And that one email has ruined my day. And yet, all the way in the car coming here, as I drove here, I was like, you know, I actually went through and listed all the good things in my life and it was in a good, and all the rest
you're
of it.
You're rubbish then. I'm amazing, you're rubbish.
I flipping am. One negative thing.
One of the good things in your life is... Is the person that email came from.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, there's a really cool thing there.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not saying that. Absolutely. And there's like... yes. It wasn't even that big a deal, an email, but just, you know, one little thing can set you off. If you're not in the right mood... I did have a shit night's sleep, mine, as I always do.
That's not... I mean, I don't know what's coming over me. I'm like, every night, 10 o'clock, I think I need to go to bed now. When my kids were little, I would stay up till 1 in the morning every night, because that was my time.
Your special time. You said this before. We've heard it all before.
Yeah, but the new six listeners we have, they haven't heard it. From now on, we can't. Everything has to be original. I can't use any old anecdotes. But mind you, that is what old people do.
Yeah.
They just
endlessly...
bloke down the pub. When I was a boy...
heard it. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we've reached that age, haven't we, really?
Totally.
I did an interview yesterday on some other podcast that's name escapes me, which is really embarrassing. And I rambled on for over an hour and 20 minutes, basically just... doing exactly that. When I was a lad, it was all story. When I worked with, you know, Mozilla or, you know, not Mozilla, Mosaic, and, you know, things in the old days were so much better and all this. Oh, I sounded so old.
Well, what Mark, who's the guy down the pub, bless him. I mean, I think he does have a phone. It's certainly not smart. But he wouldn't know what podcast is. He always says, years ago, because he's a Thatcher.
Right. Awesome.
Thatching stories. It's just great. But he does repeat himself endlessly.
So perhaps we need to start all our podcasts from now on. Years ago. Yeah. That would be awesome.
But I am worried.
Are you?
Yes.
What are you worried about?
I'm worried.
My mental well-being? It's a bit late for that, isn't it?
That's a kind of constant sort of, you know, a hum of, yes, I do worry about your mental well-being. And that's not what I meant. No, what I'm slightly worried about today is that my new MacBook Air is leaning against my front door as we speak.
I'm calculating whether I can get home to your house before you do, because I'm much in envy of your new computer.
Yeah, hey, woo! I'm going to get it out. And it's going to look just like this one.
Well, it will do.
It's going to be exactly the same as this one. And yes, okay, it's got more power,
and it'll have a light up keyboard.
Yeah, that'll be quite nice.
Which would be nice.
But that's it, really.
Don't know why.
That's it. It's exactly the same.
But they're aiming to what? It's going to be about twice as fast, did we work out? We did
more
a bench-
than twice.
Yeah, more than twice. We did a benchmark.
I don't know what the points stand for, but this one is a 3,005 points.
Yes.
And the new one is 7,200 odd.
Yes. Brilliant. Lovely.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's, I'm sure that's amazing.
It means that it won't go into super fan mode.
Yeah.
Particularly when doing this sort of audio recording stuff.
Yes. Absolutely.
But yeah, someone's nicked it. So.
Yes. Which is a shame, really. For you?
They said Thursday, and today is Wednesday. Shouldn't start getting into what day it is.
They probably won't leave it, will they? They'll re-deliver it.
Yeah, they'll re-deliver it.
So on
when I'm not there.
Next Tuesday, which will be the Tuesday just gone when this comes out, I think. No, even later.
This is why I was worried about saying days.
Now, I've just completely...
The one we recorded last week, when's that
That's going out next Friday. So this is 2 weeks away.
Oh, no.
So whatever I was going to say there is totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
I was going to say Apple is going to tell me a load of things I have to buy because they're doing
what's
an announcement.
The new stuff coming out? New iPhone, probably?
Two new iPhones.
Really?
Yes, an iPhone 5S.
Right.
And then an iPhone 5C, which is, the S is the normal upgrade that they do.
Yeah.
And then 5C is going to be a plasticky, cheap one.
Oh, I don't want that.
The kind of thing that Steve Jobs would never have approved of.
Yes, quite right, too.
And there's...
Sullying Apple's name.
Exactly.
5C. C stands for crap.
It is interesting, isn't it? Because the one thing that Jobs was always very good at, in fact, was famous for when he returned to Apple after being in the wilderness, because he is Messiah, so
yeah.
He had a wilderness experience where he only set up Pixar, you know, real wilderness times.
Yeah.
When he came back, the first thing he did was take the product line, which was massively complicated, and he basically created a quadrant with, on one side, a pro and consumer, mm-hmm. and on the other side, laptop and desktop, and that was it. They produced four items, mm-hmm. you know, one pro laptop, one pro desktop, one, you know, consumer. And that was it. So he always...
They still do. Well, there's two different types of laptops.
Yeah, it's got more and more complicated. Yeah. And especially since he's gone, you're beginning to see, you know, feature and product creep and a bigger range of products and complicates the choice. You get choice paralysis.
They
and that
came
kind
out
of.
With the MacBook Air when he was there.
That is true. That is true. But that was quite... Yeah.
But is that that's the consumer laptop, isn't it? Yes, of course it is.
Yeah.
Consumer laptop and the MacBook Pro is the...
Because the MacBook went away, essentially.
It is, yes. The cheapy little MacBook.
Although I loved the My Little MacBook.
Yeah.
It was great. Great computer. So I don't know whether they're doing the right thing. But there's also rumours that, you know, of course we've now got a Mac Mini, an iPad Mini as well as an iPad.
And I love that.
Oh, the iPad Mini is lovely, isn't it? There's no point in pointing to it, Mark, because it's an audio podcast.
Oh, you love that.
That there.
Yeah, see, years ago, when there was only one sort of iPad, I didn't have one, because I thought they were big and clunky and useless.
But the rumour is that this one might get Retina on Tuesday. But of course, by the time people are listening to this, they'll know anyway.
But it'd be interesting, people will be able to make comparisons. But I'm due a new phone very soon. So
that'd be good.
Have a 5S for me.
Well, yeah.
I'm not having a 5 crap.
No, I would be tempted to wait. Because otherwise you're always going to be... Wait till next year and get the 6.
Why?
Because it'll have brain scan.
Yeah, it will. It'll fit in my head.
Yeah.
I'll just go, ka-dunk, and it'll be
in my apparently, head. I mean, from what I'm seeing, for the rumours, the only thing new with the 5S is slightly faster processor and a fingerprint reader.
Ooh. Well, I'm never going to use that.
Exactly.
But, well, all right, well, then what's going to happen with the 6 then?
Oh, well,
apart from brain
it'll be in your brain.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
I can't wait. That'll be April next year. No.
I've decided I've got a problem in regards to gadgets. It's like I've just bought, this is a huge tangent, I just bought a Bose, new set of Bose headphones.
Ooh.
Can well, I not headphones.
Ones?
No. My wife has already dibsied them. So I had these noise-cancelling headphones.
Yeah, I had them for years.
Really, really nice, weren't they? And they were brilliant when you're going travelling.
Every time I go travelling, I think, I don't travel enough. Every time!
Yes.
It's like, well, if you'd made that decision 10 years ago, Marcus...
But my problem with them, I mean, they were loved. They were great. But the problem with them is that when you are traveling, they're pretty big.
Yeah, big chunkies.
Yeah. So Bose have now produced in-ear noise cancelling ones that are incredible. They're better than the over-ear ones.
But I don't like putting them in my ear. I mean, I do. Wear earphones in my ears, but I just feel that they kind of like, I'm doing actions again. They kind of feel like something stuck in your ear. Whereas nice, my current headphones that I'm wearing are big, proper around your head ones, which are just so much more comfortable.
No, I prefer them
in
ears.
From an audio point of view as well.
Yeah, so I don't know whether that's the case actually with these ones. The noise cancelling is phenomenal on them. Phenomenal. And they are the Bose Quiet Comfort 20i. Which is
and
the
also,
iPhone version.
you would have paid a stupid amount of money for a little tiny thing.
£259.
There you go. I think it's the same price for the big ones.
I know. But I get hot ears with the big ones because they cover your whole ears.
Hot ears is better than earache, though.
I don't get earache, see? Anyway, this is all a tangent. My point was,
is
I was getting really excited, getting these headphones. And I got them, and like 5 minutes later, it's like, oh, I've had those now.
Yeah.
What's next?
You will never be satisfied.
A gadget hit.
You will never be
satisfied.
No, I know. And
money
your gadgets need to be more expensive to get the same
hit.
Yeah.
It's like
more and more, and it won't last as long.
No. Yeah. It's not as good. Life is
good. 69p apps used to work, but nothing anymore from that.
I think I'm increasingly coming to the conclusion that my life is done.
Or you need to do something else.
Start this podcast, maybe.
That's a really good
this
idea.
This is the longest, boringest introduction I think we've ever done. Right, so we haven't discussed who's doing agreed and who's doing disagreed this week. So I'll tell you the subject, and you can decide whether you agree or disagree.
Okay.
All right?
No doubt I'll be on the fence, but...
Yeah, we've got to pick a side.
All right, come on then.
Right, here we go. This House proposes... Have you got all your notes up, by the way? Have you got this in front of you? Because you'll need it to be able to reference other people's stuff. What other people have said. Because last show we did, it was just your opinion. Me, the whole time.
It'll be the same this time. Anyway. I'll try not to do it. Go on then, read it out and I'll decide.
This House proposes that the web design sector should have a professional standards body and that web designers should have an option to become accredited.
Please, can I disagree with that?
Okay, you may disagree. Do you disagree in your opinion?
Because generally speaking, and I make the point strongly, generally speaking, I think accreditation bodies are set up for the people in the accreditation body and not for the people that they are accrediting. That if you're good, you're good, and if you're bad, you're bad, and the bad people, it's not going to make the bad people go away. I think they're still going to be there. You're kind of cowboys and the like, it won't make them go away. I suppose it might mean that you're less likely to get a cowboy, so that's a good thing. So I'm now arguing the other side of the case. But generally speaking, I think that they don't bring a lot to the party.
Well, Greg Robertson said that if you could be an accredited professional, then wouldn't that separate you from the amateurs and present ourselves to the world as, you know, accredited professionals, giving potential clients more information before choosing a firm? Because how do clients differentiate between...
Shannon Mulhave, this was what I was about to say, says, no, I think a designer's portfolio says much more about their capabilities than a certificate.
Yeah, okay, but no. That's the end of my argument.
I guess that's what I kind of think, actually.
But that falls down on a number of levels, right? Mm-hmm. There are a whole load of, for a start, from a design point of view, what if you're a coder? Doesn't help looking at a website and a portfolio to judge whether a coder is any good or not. Secondly, there are a lot of aspects from looking at a website you can't tell. You can't tell whether it's actually converting particularly well. You can't tell whether it's effectively achieving business objectives.
But having a certificate's not going to tell you if people can make websites that convert. It means that they can get certificates. Yeah? It means that they can fill in forms.
Whoopee. Yeah, but then, okay, well, what about other industries? Like, you know, Lawrence talks about a gas engineer has to be accredited. You know, can you imagine, how would you feel about having someone come and install your boiler, you know, without them knowing whether it's actually safe or not, whether it's actually fit for purpose. And you rely on the accreditation to tell whether somebody's fit for purpose.
It goes too far, though, because if you knew, Paul Bagg, you were really brilliant at electrics and wiring, for example, and you were as good as any electrician out there. You cannot touch your stuff in your house. You have to have a certificate that says you're allowed to do that, even though you have the knowledge. And I think that's not what
the house proposes. Because the house proposes, and I quote, the web designers should have the option of becoming accredited. They don't have to be. They can still operate.
It's a slippery slope.
That's it. That is just a stock answer to everything.
It so is, though. And we should be concentrating on the work, not on filling in forms.
But, I mean, Lawrence goes on to say in his, which I really like, which is he says...
I have to read some of these.
Customers have no idea what they're being given. They could pay thousands of pounds for what, in effect, is a few hours of plug and play. You know, this is the kind of practice that should be stopped, and accreditation wouldn't solve it, but it would help at least give, you know, people something. Because let's be honest, I could go out there and I could easily fleece clients, easily. You know, oh yes, we'll develop you this custom, blah, blah, blah. I'll go out there, install WordPress, slap a theme on it, call it job done. It's all bullshit, if you wanted it to
be. But you could do that as... With your certificate as well.
But at least the certificate, one presumes, would have some kind of mechanism behind it that...
What, there's a test, people go back and check your work, but are they really going to do that?
Well, there's got to be some kind... I mean, how does a boiler become accredited? He must go through a certain training cycle. So he must have met a certain standard.
Yeah, but that what you just described was conning people.
Yes. this is really difficult because I actually disagree.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to be on the agree side. Because it's like, it's a dangerous ground because it's things like, you know, ISO. I can remember when I used to work at a really big company.
Oh, ISO, a pain in the arse. Spend more time complying to ISO than you do doing work.
People do win work by being ISO compliant.
Yes.
And not so much in our industry, but, you know, if you want to, I don't know, build an office block, then you must have all the ISO compliance stuff. But I can remember... being audited when I used to work at a company called RJ Wiggins, big paper.
Yeah, I was audited when I was at IBM.
And it's utterly pointless.
Yes, it is.
The audit tells what we were being measured upon. You know, you knew what was coming up, so you could just basically make sure everything was in place as it should be, and then it went back to normal after that. So therefore, it was worthless. It's all basically about giving people jobs, he said cynically.
I mean, there are. To be fair, this is kind of going off.
Although, therefore, there. But there are buts to this. You know, you'd want a certified architect. I think, for example, I think that in certain fields, and it depends what you mean by certification. You know, you'd want your doctor to have passed their degree.
Yeah, now that's interesting because that was what Whitehouse came. He said, "I'll read what he wrote because he kind of goes along that line." Whether or not this is a true judge of skills is irrelevant. As we get larger as an industry, so will the pressure to become more structured industry become a reality. Not only that, but now there are courses in university and colleges, and you're seeing more and more people and the next generation coming into the industry with qualifications, which will push up the bar of entry to the industry, making it eventually impossible to get into without qualifications. So it might be the set fact that given enough time you don't need accreditation because essentially you would never hire a web designer who didn't have a degree in web design in the same way as you'd never hire a doctor that hadn't passed a medical exam.
Exactly.
So it kind of might resolve itself.
Small-time marketeer says, my take on why this happens is that being a website designer is a mix of artist, business person, public speaker, professional listener, skilled scheduler, accountant, bookkeeper, and many more, making accreditation pretty difficult to pull off.
Yeah. I mean, that's the real problem here, is actually not whether or not it's a good idea. It's that it's actually really difficult to do. Mm. I mean, any accreditation, it goes back to the old thing about universities as well. It's like as soon as a university puts a syllabus in place, it's out of date. And that's the same...
Joram Jack says exactly that.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I think that's spot on, basically, and I think what probably undermines it. I mean, there is some accreditation out there already. For example, both Microsoft and Adobe offer accreditation for their technologies. But you're not going to get that from the open source community.
No.
So, difficult, isn't it?
I'm going to finish off with Adrian Payne.
Okay.
Who says, let's pretend we're back in the 90s and this accreditation body exists.
Yes.
Somebody grabs an accreditation and come 2013, they are still a successful business, sitting there making websites with full-blown table-based layouts, image map navigation and scrolling marquees.
Oh, those were the days.
But clients trust them because they've got that shiny accreditation certificate on the wall. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's so
the only way it could possibly work is if you had to renew it.
Yeah, in which you would. But then then the other cynical part of my brain gets into, well, so it's just in the business then. It's a business of...
making money. You're right. Sorry all those guys that argued agree. I did a rubbish job at supporting you.
I'll take the bad one on the next one.
Okay, right, we'll work out what that is. All right, then. Okay, so this one's interesting, Marcus, because you said you're going to pick the bad side on this, and I don't know which side that is.
Okay.
I'm really torn over it. This house proposes that all new websites should be built to be responsive.
Ooh.
Which side are you going to go for on that one?
I can go either way, honestly.
It's difficult.
You pick.
Okay, I'm going to go with... disagree. Okay. I don't know whether I believe that or not. It's interesting. Really good one, this one.
Okay.
Right, so where should we start?
I'm going to start with just the first one. I haven't read it. This is Andy Kinsley says, and he agrees, all websites designed and built from scratch should be responsive in nature. This includes both the structure and the content. Well, it's more of a statement.
Statement. Yeah, that's not a reason. Yeah. But, I mean, there is... Wesley Knight kind of builds on that point where he says, by default, the web is responsive. By default, it's responsive.
Yeah.
We're the ones that impose rigidity on top of that. And it's us that needs to take control over that visual representation. So he kind of backs it up.
Mm.
So it was quite interesting. The conversation on this one kind of skewed in lots of interesting directions. Like, for example, it then moved into a conversation of, are we talking about responsiveness here? Or is this an accessibility issue?
Mm.
You know, is it about making things accessible for mobile devices? And Philip started talking about that.
Which it kind of is. But then you can argue that if you can view a website and you can pinch and zoom on your device, I'm doing your argument, then it's still accessible.
Hmm.
When does it become inaccessible? I agree that all content should be accessible as it can be. Although, interestingly, I was just...
Well, not necessarily as it can be, because it can be incredibly accessible, but, can be justified within business constraints.
I don't know if this is relevant, but I was just flicking around Twitter the other night, and Tom Harvey, Tommy used to work for us, he tweeted a link to an article that said, I want to say... Not graceful degradation. What's the
progressive
other
enhancement
is dead.
Was the
title of the article? I didn't read it all, but it was lots of articles that were basically lots of points basically along the lines of this argument about accessibility is too limiting.
That needs to be another debate topic.
There's
a debate topic. Let's not get into that one now, because otherwise I'll go off on one. Is it Devolute, I think.
Devolute.
He says, I think things have changed significantly. That maybe the good question to ask is, do all websites need to be optimized for desktops, or is mobile enough? I think that's a bit pretentious. We're not there yet.
No, I think we do have to remember that we're not in the real world.
No, we're not. We're in a make-believe webby world. Absolutely.
A make-believe world where IE doesn't exist, and IT departments don't put limitations on us, etc., etc., etc.
So anyway, I'll get back to my position that I'm supposed to be taking, which is the disagreeing position.
Yeah, go on then.
And Oh, why do people have to have such annoying names? Raven?
Razvan.
He says that a responsive website should be considered a luxury more than a necessity. If the client has the money and time, then they can choose to go responsive or not. So, I don't know whether I entirely agree with that. Do I agree with that?
Should all websites be responsive? Of course. But that shouldn't mean that the website must be the main platform for mobile users.
So, in other words, you could have a mobile site or a native app as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's fair enough. On a personal level, I feel that all designers and developers who do not do responsive as a default are not doing justice to the web building community and industry. Still doesn't say no, though. Still doesn't say why.
See, that's just jingoistic. That's not the right word. Just arrogant crap. But who's that? I'm going to...
Matt.
You're scum, Matt. You're a terrible human being. Oh, no, now I'm just doing the same as he did. No, sorry, Matt. I love you, really.
But what was I going to say? Let's take this argument forward 10 years, say.
Right.
All right? Would anyone who is coding websites... Because basically, to go back to the point that Razvan made, mm-hmm. was that it costs more mm-hmm. to do a responsive site.
Yes.
Now, obviously, from a design point of view, you can make decisions, you know, from wireframing, but let's say that's out the window. From a coding point of view...
Yes.
It does take longer to do a responsive site. Yes, tick.
Yes.
But in 10 years' time, won't everyone do responsive coding? So going back and doing a site that isn't responsive would be kind of...
Sorry, I zoned out because I was sitting on my hover castle because we're 10 years in the future and I'm going to live in a hover castle.
A hover castle? Mm. Wow.
That's where I'm going to live.
Actually, yeah, we won't. I won't care. The internet will be...
10 years. It'll be all Google Glasses. We won't have websites.
Yeah, exactly. So this is all really
right. We'll go, Siri, tell me what I need to know. And Siri will go, no, I'm your master and overlord. You shall do what I tell you.
Well, yeah, that probably will happen.
Yes.
Siri is the start.
It is, isn't it? It's Skynet. Yeah. It's the beginning.
The reason why it doesn't work at the moment, it's all just a ruse.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually artificially intelligent. Yeah, it's just hiding it.
Exactly.
I haven't come up with
anyone that says it. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, Brian has got another good argument about in terms of disagreeing. He says it depends on the content, on the audience, and on the client. You know, who generally, and there is generally two reasons for wanting responsive website. It's a trend, is one of his reasons.
Ooh, and I don't agree with that.
And, you know, why have an app when you can have a responsive site? So he's basically saying it's either because people want it because it's trendy. And I think clients do. You know, there's a lot of people that are putting in briefs, yes, we want a responsive website, without really understanding what that means. And also, they see it as a cheap alternative to a mobile, a proper mobile site.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I know I'm supposed to be on the agree side. I think there is a good reason at the moment why you would disagree with this, and that's purely the amount of time it takes to develop. And when, you know, is just a desktop site better than no site at all? Yes.
Yeah.
But that's pretty poor.
Yeah, really. Okay, fair enough. What about John then? John says it should depend on the client's requirements, target market, content, message, type of user, budget.
Budget, yes, but all the rest of them, no.
Why?
Why?
Well, target market, okay, if you were aiming at what's his name, Dan the Pub? He hasn't got a smartphone, so why make a responsive site?
The only way he could access the internet would be via his not very smartphone.
But that's not a responsive site.
I exaggerated on the not smartphone. He's got one of those quite big, fat Samsung things.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't have a PC at home. More and more people are using... you know,
there is
tablets and phones. More and many more. I can't think of a case of when the target market would only be using desktop.
John makes another point. He makes the money point that you said about the price.
Yeah.
But there is another kind of related to that, which is time. That it takes longer as well, and that, you know, and time doesn't always allow it. So I think that's a good point
time
as well.
Time waits for no man.
Exactly.
Gabriel, let me read one.
Oh, go on then.
Patrick Johnson says, how can a better optimised user experience be a bad thing? I understand that some project projects have budget restrictions and a clearly defined audience that makes responsive unfeasible. But otherwise, a better user experience should always be a priority. That's just what I've just said. Okay.
I don't know. Let's have a look what Chris said. There are absolute cases where the physical size of the screen and the interface needs to be tightly coupled together. UI patterns on the iPhone being the most obvious example of that. But more generally, the idea of write once and run everywhere has been attempted so many times. And each time we see something coming up that breaks that model. Additionally, I believe that designing for the lowest common denominator will produce boring sites that won't help the content.
I was just actually sat here thinking about the cost thing, and I was actually thinking that I don't agree with that either. I really do genuinely agree that all websites should be responsive, because mobile devices are, if they haven't already, about to take over from desktop devices for, you know, for people accessing the internet. All right, for some groups that's going to be it's going to take longer, but you can't ignore it. I can't think of any case where you can ignore it.
Well, okay.
So therefore, it's actually you're restricting your audience. Therefore, especially if you're selling something anyway, you're going to end up losing money, even though you maybe paid less.
Okay, but there's a couple of things with that. One is, as you've already said, you can use a desktop website on a mobile device. Point one. So it's not that the content is inaccessible.
Yeah, true, but it might be so poor that it might be so difficult to do that you might not get any sales.
My
previous example.
Okay, but it is, in theory, depending on what
you
your desktop site is, it is possible. Second element here is which is what Chris is arguing, and actually we're going to do this as a separate question at a later date, is he's saying that actually responsiveness is all well and good, but actually it's a stopgap. It's a stopgap for doing kind of device-specific websites. So, you know, you should be doing an iPhone site that looks and feels like an iPhone, an Android site that looks and feels like an Android that has that kind of user interface. So actually, responsive design is kind of a minimal requirement, and that's his argument against all websites being responsive. It's not that you shouldn't cater for mobile, but actually this write once, run everywhere mentality is not enough. That isn't going to cut it over the long term.
But that, going back to what the original remit was, this house proposes that all new websites should be built to be responsive, and he's agreeing with that. He's saying, but you should also do other stuff as well.
No, he's saying instead of making it responsive, you should have a desktop version, an iPhone version, an iPad version, an Android version.
That's nuts. In my view.
Well, I'm not going to get in too much because we're going to cover that in more detail in another show. But it's an interesting angle on it.
What Shannon says, responsive, and this is a good response to what you just said, inherently means device agnostic.
Yes.
Which is necessary this day and age if you want your content to be consumable by all of your users, which was the point I was just making.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, from my personal perspective, I obviously agree, actually, because that's what we do at Headscape.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Every new thing is
responsive.
Yeah.
And, whether that will last forever, whether that is the right solution forever, but here and now, from my perspective, building a responsive website, you know, a basic responsive website, we don't always kind of, you know, because it's a very broad statement to say you're making your website responsive. Are we talking, you know, we don't necessarily optimize all of our images and load different images for different because of budgetary constraints, but a basic responsive website is something we build by default because the cost isn't that much higher, and it ensures a long-term or longer-term reliability, you know, what's the word? Shelf life for the website. So, I mean, I actually, once again, I've argued against something I don't think I agree with.
Yeah, well, Yeah, I'm always kind of going, but as seems to be the trend here, we both go like that all the way through it.
Yeah,
neither of us will stick to our side of the argument.
No, but it's nice to have a starting
point. I think
point.
I do agree with that one. I mean, the only thing I keep going back to my mind is when I argued against it, is a desktop-only site better than no site at all? Yes.
Yeah.
But I think I then argued that particularly if... Unless it's a personal blog that has no kind of particular audience or something, you're not that bothered whether it's successful or not. If it's supposed to be doing something, selling something, providing information for people, then I think that actually it's a false economy and that you should be paying the extra to make it responsive, to get so that all of your audience can see it, because so many people view websites.
But that's the trouble. The trouble is that they don't. So many people don't all view websites on mobile devices right now.
Yes, they do. Well, I will tell you a story, Paul, about me.
Is going to be anecdotal.
No, it isn't.
Go on.
Well, it is a bit, I suppose. But no, I was sat on the sofa, not last night, night before, and an advert came on about a charity.
Yes.
That was quite similar to the charity that I went to see yesterday morning.
Oh, yeah.
And that was on exactly the same subject as about I was going to go and see them. So obviously my ears pricked up and I thought, oh, I'd better go and have a look at this. And it's big URL across the screen, you know, very sad, you know, what, but happy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, good things happened. Big URL across the screen at the end of it. I pick up my iPhone off the coffee table.
Yeah.
Type in.
Yeah.
.org.uk. Bammo. I can't read it. And apart from that, I'm also blind as well. It's even worse. And it was just like, put the phone back down on the table.
But that,
you've just spent loads and loads of money on TV advertising and you haven't...
But that's completely anecdotal, right?
But it's a pretty good example.
Yeah. But the reality is, we you know, if you look at the analytics of, you know, a lot of clients, not all clients... A lot of clients have really quite high mobile levels, but some have quite low. You know, some of them may only have, you know, 5% of their audience that are using mobile devices at the moment.
You struggle to find something that low. When I was looking at an organisation that we worked for a year ago, they were over 10% at that point already. And they weren't the kind of organisation you think, well, they'd be, you know, massive mobile audience or not.
Right.
They were, you know, just a bog standard kind of institution, about 10 or 11%, and on the rise, and that was a year ago before the iPad Christmas that we had last year.
I can't really argue this, really. I'm trying to, you know, because yeah, it's a kind of I'm going to use your word. I can't believe I'm going to do this. It's a slippery slope, you know. If you say, oh well, only 5%, even if it's only 5% of our audience use mobile devices, we won't support them. Only 5% use, you know, IE7, we won't support them. Only 5% don't have JavaScript turned on, we won't support them. Before you know it, you've kind of decimated your entire audience. So, yeah, I actually think, and it's such a growth area. How can you not? You have to take mobile seriously now. Mm. And responsive at the moment, I think, is the most cost-effective way of doing that as a starting point. But I do lean a little bit towards, I can't remember what his name is.
But this idea of having specific sites for specific devices.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily go as far as specific sites for specific devices.
Because that may as well be an app then.
Yeah, but I may lean towards the perhaps you need a device, a website that is a mobile site rather than just a responsive site. But, you know, then you do get into areas, well, we'll cover that in another show. Because I want to save that juicy conversation for another time.
Okay.
And there are pros and cons to both sides of that argument as well, which means it's a great debate topic. How are we doing time-wise, Marcus?
We're good. It's joke time, I would have said.
Is it joke time already?
Yeah,
it's just such fun doing these podcasts when I'm in a good mood.
Yes, hey, I've got a joke for you, Paul.
Oh, is it more your set of jokes
this
you were doing last
week? This is the funniest joke ever. Like, called Rob Orton.
Right.
I heard a rumour that Cadbury is bringing out an oriental chocolate bar. Could be a Chinese whisper.
That's that one best joke.
That's the best joke.
Hey, talking about chocolate.
It's not as good as the Don't Be So Silly. That's absolutely super.
That was a good one. Yeah. Talking about chocolate, have you seen this Android Kit Kat tie-in?
I, embarrassingly speaking to the client this morning, had to admit, no, I haven't.
Oh, so funny. So they've always, Android's releases of the different versions of the operating system has always
Hello,
been...
Hello, Amy, by the way.
Oh, it's
she
Amy.
She listens.
Oh, of course, Nick, yeah. Are we allowed to say who she works for?
Well, I think I've just given it away.
Oh, right, yeah, considering the reference. Yeah. No, it's good. So they've always had, like, different versions of, like, Jelly Bean and various kind of generic sweets and stuff like that. Mm. And this time it's going to be Kit Kat. But what I love about it, I was reading on the BBC about the background of how it came about, and I think more business decisions need to be made like this. Yeah. The guys at Google were, like, basically... Yeah, what can we go for next? And they had to open the fridge and there was a Kit Kat in it. Hey, we ought to go with Kit Kat. Oh, no, we can't do that. It's a brand name. Well, we could give them a ring. And that's
not
how it happened.
Say no, are they?
But no money's been exchanged, nothing, yeah. You know, there's no, it's just they rang up Nestle and went, yeah, can we call our operating system Kit Kat? Yeah, all right, that sounds good. It was just so laid back, and you just think that's brilliant. That's the way it should be done.
Absolutely.
Lovely, lovely.
But, of course, I didn't know that. But, I hadn't heard that.
And you ought to check out the KitKat.com website. Go to KitKat.com. It's yes, just sir. Brilliant.
I'm doing it now.
And they've really tied it in really well. And so not only is the new operating system going to be called Kit Kat, but also Kit Kat's branding is now going to be done. All their Kit Kats are going to have the little Android figure on. And their Kit Kat website is done like a mobile website, like selling a mobile phone on it. Have you found it?
Currently, I have a red screen and nothing else.
Ah, that's a shame. That's our rubbish broadband connection in the barn. It's just really good because it's like it sells Kit Kat like it's a mobile phone. It's really funny. So I think that's a brilliant time. Well done, all those involved. You have my approval.
Have you seen the on the subject of advertising and being like another thing? Have you seen that? I can't remember the type of cider it is, but the cider ads that are in the Apple Store.
Yes,
yeah.
Brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely super. Oh, it's doing it. Kit Kat 4.4, the future of confectionery has arrived.
It's brilliant. So good. A lot of people are like, meh. It's interesting that all the kind of branding people, the marketing people, are all going, meh at it. Oh, because, you know, if Kit Kat has a bad reputation, Nestle have a bad reputation, you know, then that will drag the Google brand down. And it's like, you just jealous because you didn't think of it.
Yeah, like the tech specs, four fingers, one finger. That is good.
Very well thought through. Love it. Good, good guys. So that about wraps up this week's show, does it not?
Yep.
Do I know? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, what's next week?
Yeah, Paul? Do I know what's next week?
You didn't last week. You only had enough for this week.
Well, but things move on, Marcus. Things move on. Yes, I have. Do you want to know what next week is?
Yeah. I forgot. Last time you told me, so yeah.
This house proposes that the current trend towards flat design is damaging usability and the intuitiveness of many websites and applications.
Okay. What do you mean by current trend? No, let's not discuss it now.
Yeah. Have you not seen Everything's Gone Flat?
Oh, I see what you mean.
All the designs are flat now.
There's no shadows or nothing.
No drop shadows and nothing skeuomorphic anymore. We've all rejected that. So, and the second one is this house proposes that where budgets allow, organisations should create a separate mobile website instead of relying solely on a responsive design, which is follow up to what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Two words, it depends.
You know that's not allowed. That's very naughty of you, Marcus.
Okay.
So there we go, that's next week's show. Join us again there. In the meantime, guys, before I say goodbye, will you do me a great honour, a great privilege? You kind of faff around these things. I'm just going to ask you, I want to get more people listening to this show. So tell someone. Simple as that.
Go out of your door now.
No.
And well, shout it to
it's
the
like,
world.
I've been thinking about this. You know, how do you build an audience? And I was thinking about how do you motivate people? And, you know, and you start getting into all these kind of, you know, almost psychological tricks. And I thought, no, screw that. I'm just going to ask people. Go and tell someone about if you like the show. If you give us a rating on iTunes, that would be really appreciated as well. Because we'd like more than six people listening to the show.
Yeah.
Because we put quite a lot of work into it.
We can get to double figures by the end of the
series. Awesome.
How good would that be?
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and thank you in advance for your recommendation, and we will talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.